Acts 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
All right, are you in your Bible? Turn over to, I'll tell you where to turn yet. Go over to the book of Jonah. And because see, I like to keep you stirred in your faith. They make a just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise. In football, what happens is you have like a warm-up. And one of the first things that happens is that what is a warm-up becomes, I mean, it's like a camp at first, but that becomes your warm-up when the season starts. Because you got to get your cardio, your body. You say, body, we're getting ready to go into something intensive. And you have to get it ready. You got to stretch it, run it, warm it up, let it sweat. And the game hadn't started. So because you're a man or woman of faith, you got to keep your faith vibrating. Amen. Because everything in the whole Bible, the just shall live by faith. Amen. You get in the game and you get tired and you can't run. You have a problem. So your training is for speed and endurance. And endurance. It's having no root in themselves and so endure but for a time. After when affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake, they become offended. Amen. You're tired. When you get tired and you want to quit, you'll blame other people. Amen. So that's why you got to get your conditioning. Stay in faith, amen. Stay in the word of God. Hallelujah. All right, so let's go over to the book of Jonah. This message is called, Come Out of the Fish. Amen. I'm going to do good with the time, too, because we can cover this. Come out, says with me, it said, come out of the fish. Amen. This is the deliverance of Jonah. This has to do with deliverance of Jonah. Now, you may have seen this differently. It may tell a story, but I want to give you the aspect of the deliverance of Jonah. Amen. All right. Okay, here it is. I got it marked. We cover chapter 1, 2, and 3, I believe, in the Bible. And I want to encourage you to get all of the CDs, CDs, and share them with people. Because many people have not heard Jonah talk. Amen. Now, when I say this as a spirit-filled, do that sound like you're bragging? I don't like to sound like I'm bragging, but this is what I'm called under an anointing as a teacher. You're going to hear things you're not going to hear with somebody just preaching this message because it's loaded with stuff. Can you say amen? See, the Holy Spirit is going to tell me what to bring out that somebody else might leave it out because they got to finish that night. I don't have to finish. I don't have no time to finish. Can you say amen? I'm graded by the success of the student. So time is not a factor. Completion of my assignment is the factor. Can you say amen? So I got to finish the whole thing and give you everything that's in it. Otherwise, you are ill-prepared. You will be ill-prepared for what God has left this for. And I'm accountable. I take it accountable, amen. You say, well, Pastor, well, church got to end sometime. Yeah, I'm going to end it, and you come back next time because it's more, and it's life-changing. I say it's life-changing. This thing about this message on Jonah, amen, man of God, and that one on those prodigal sons, oh, my God. God said, you see all them men in prison, David? I said, yeah, what about it? He said, that's it right there. You're looking at it. He said, you're looking at it right there. Everything is related to spiritual law. Everything. You violate spiritual law anywhere in the world, the consequences are consistent. Amen. You know how people use the term, well, you won't diss me or diss somebody. You can't diss God and get away with it. You know, well, I'm not like into that God stuff. I'm not here. God made you, brother. You in it. When you came into the planet, you here because of God. Amen. They're like, oh, well, these are the people God made here, and these people here, they somebody else made. Oh, no, no. No, if you're here, you've been selected. If you've been selected, the devil didn't do the selecting. Amen. He do the destructing. God did the selecting. Your life has a purpose. I used to wonder about that in church. I said, well, you know, people just get born, don't they? No, they don't just get born. The scientists will tell you for every person that gets born, when those sperms and everything come, it's a bunch of them that don't match. They don't connect. Come on, science people, to help me with that. Amen. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, you one among thousands that did, that made it, that didn't make it. Hallelujah. Well, let's go further. So here, come out of the fish. And the word chapter number, we covered about Jonah. And it said Jonah was a bigoted Jew. He was a Hebrew. And the word now, chapter 1 said, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, read verse 2 with me. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, before I close, I'm gonna give you five things, amen. 5 points. They're indicators, praise God, of people. They're indicators that you are avoiding the presence of God. We'll let you know who's running from God. See, it's clear, everybody for God. God intends for everybody to serve him. But he wanna get you saved first. So you know you're born again. But these, I'm going to give you these indicators, amen, that you are avoiding the presence of God. That means you're running from God. There are people in church running from God. Just because you're in the garage don't mean you're a car. You can be in the church ignoring God. But we haven't gotten to that yet. Let's go to the scripture. So anyway, so he avoided the presence of God. So God had spoken to Jonah, and he wanted him to go. He had an assignment for him. Praise God, to cry against the wickedness of the city. So go over to chapter 3. It said, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Now, those of you who are with me, we covered it, and Jonah was in the ship, and they wanted, you know, him to throw him overboard. We gave you the details about him throwing overboard. Oh, yeah, the kids can be dismissed. The children, the kids can be dismissed. Sister Linda, I'm sorry. Praise God. Yeah, remember that. They can be dismissed. Amen. And with the young adults, we want to get them where they can go and have their class. So we're not ready today. We'll do it next week. Okay, we want to have them. We can go and be taught. And so they can, I want them to be able to ask questions during the service. Amen. All right. Hold me to that. Oh. And there was something else. There's a word, intensity. I gave the word intensive. You remember at the hospital they have intensive care? Okay, there's intensive, and then there's consistency. Now, here's what I want to mention. Going with this right here, with the word, your approach to the word of God. The word intensive, or intensity, and then you have consistency. Now, there's a place in your walk with God where you must become and develop consistency. You must consistently pray, read the Bible, attend service, have fellowship with God. But there is a level of intensity with God where your situation is causing for more than your normal consistency. Just being here is not going to be enough. See, there is a level of intensity in God. And when we talk about being baptized with the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost, you're going into an intensive level of your Christian walk. That's why many Christians who are saved, amen, they're saved, they go to church, they're good people, amen, they're born again. And they are consistent Christians, but they're not intensive about the things of God. So certain victories they're not going to have. Remember the disciples asked Jesus, why could we not cast them out? Remember that? Remember the demons were there? He said, why could we not cast them out? He said, this kind cometh out only but by praying and fasting. Are you following me? What he was saying is there's a level of intensity that you need to be in, that you must engage to cast these devils out. Come on, somebody. And so I wanted to mention that to you with the word of God, because many believers are casual. Many believers are casual, which means you may be consistent. But if you like, you know, you go to church once a month, twice a month, you casual. You're not trying to recover. Amen. If I find out I've been whooped real bad, I know I got a lot of work to do because I ain't going to get whooped again like that. Whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? You know, if I've been defeated, when you lose, when you go back to the drawing board, you're going to work harder. Because you got to recover. In other words, the enemy has your number. You lost. Don't make no mistake. You lost, you were defeated. So there's a level of intensity that you're going to have to turn it up to be better, to understand better what you're doing. Amen. Because you're facing an opponent that's not going to be defeated with a casual commitment. Turn to your neighbor and say, casual commitment. Amen. Some of you are dealing with some things right now. It's not going to happen with a casual commitment. You don't listen to the CDs. You're not really reading the Bible. But you come to church, and then, you know, amen, you'll miss just on a whim. You know, I don't feel like it. Oh, no, you ain't ready for warfare. That's not how you engage in warfare. You're making up lost time anyway. You're way behind anyway. So we're trying to catch up. Are you with me? And so there are people that just not hungry. They don't have a hunger for victory, so you have to develop that because they've been losing all their life, and they, you know, losing is all right. They ain't got used to losing or just getting by. Well, how you know when you're just getting by? Well, that's another subject. I just wanted to introduce intensity and consistency with you. See, there are many people, when they find themselves in a faith fight over their health, they want to get intensity. They haven't had practice any intensity in their life ever. They ain't done no fighting. That's what doctor tell you, you're going to need a miracle. You never fought. You ain't never fought for the miracle before. Well, you got to take some stuff out your life. Let me go on. That's in the five things. Amen. So anyway, let's go further. It said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid. I told you what to tell them. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh who believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Now remember, God had told Jonah what to preach to Nineveh. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. Now when I said come out of the fish, now I want you to get this. Now you see the plan of God activated in the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was a city of something like 120,000 people. That was a big city in that time. And so here, God had the plan for Nineveh, what Nineveh needed to do, amen, in order to recover itself, amen, and be blessed the way God wanted to be blessed. But Jonah was a bigoted Jew. He didn't like the people of Nineveh, and he knew that God would restore, amen. He knew that God would get them back right if he go and preach. He didn't want to do that. And so this is where I want to show you what many times why people running from the Lord. Amen, or you know, they're like avoiding, you know, the characteristics of avoiding the presence of God. But the title of this is to come out of the fish. Now, here's where many people are. And I think about a lot of my dear brothers who are incarcerated and people in different kinds of bondages. Can you say amen? Different kinds of bondages. And so, in any case, that occurred before this chapter 3. And what happened was when Jonah was in that whale, they threw Jonah overboard. Can you say amen? I can't go back and cover all that today. They threw Jonah overboard, and they wanted to drive and take him and drop him on the land, but God wouldn't let the boat get near land. You got to understand what's going on here. These are not coincidences or accidents, because that's not biblical. But what had happened, they were, we'll just drive close to the land and throw him off on the land. No, they're not going to do that. God would not let the ship, the storm would not let the ship move near the land. Amen. So they had to throw him overboard so he's in deep water. So he's in deep water so that fish could swallow him up. See, God had a plan for him. So many, I remember hearing a person say one time about a relative of theirs was incarcerated, and they were thankful. They said, well, I said, well, why are they thankful about him being incarcerated? Because she said, because I know where he's at. And I believe he's safe in there. Out here, his life is in danger. Based on where his mindset was and what he was into, the chances of him living were limited. But in there, amen, she felt she knew where he was and there was some supervision, so to speak. So many times people are in bondage, you're kind of like in protective custody. They have that term in criminal justice. You're in protective custody. We're going to lock you up for your own benefit and well-being. Can I get a witness? I don't want to be in jail for no kind of custody. Custody, custard, pie, nothing. I don't want to be in there. Amen. Don't protect me in there. Protect. I want protection out here. How many of you want protection out here? That's what you got. Amen. So, in any case, with Jonah, he's in this well. The Bible says in there this well of fish. He's in there 3 days and three nights. But what occurred was, and this is the part I want you to get before I jump back over here, amen, in these other scriptures in chapter 3. While he's in this well, Jonah knew what God had told him to do. So he's on the ship sleeping, endangering the lives of other people. There are a lot of people you know out here, their disobedience to God is endangering the lives of other people. Matter of fact, it come to me this morning to tell the sisters, do not marry a man running from God. What? Say what? How am I know he running from God? Because you got this message. Listen to this message. You'll know when I get through this message, you'll know. It's certain questions you can ask him. It's certain questions you can ask his mama. Certain questions you can ask his daddy. You can find out there's somebody running from God. Now, I know some people ain't never been in the church ever. Never. They ain't been in the church. Ain't no God nowhere. Two generations deep ain't nobody. You run across some witches, but you don't find no God. None of that. Amen. And then there's some other, they from a long line of preachers and stuff. Can you say amen? Now I'm just being real. Being real with you. Amen. Some of y'all in here, y'all know how to put stuff over your door and up under the mat and everything for people because they won't come back and so the salespeople don't call. Get that witchcraft out. And I'm going on. So where'd you learn that from? Well, my aunt, that witch aunt you had, that witch aunt taught it to you. And you keeping it going. But never mind that. Get rid of that in the name of Jesus. So Jonah, I want you to show you this, what Jonah did. In chapter 2, now go back with me. I got to move fast. It said, then Jonah, well, I don't really have to move fast. I just say that because I'm going to move fast. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Read that verse with me, verse 1. That's chapter 2, verse 1. This is only 4 chapters in Jonah. Are you with me? I think every man and woman ought to know and understand this book of Jonah. God is dealing face up with somebody. He wants to do something. And if you're born and you can hear my voice, you one of them. It's something God wants you to do. God hadn't changed. Amen. He hadn't changed. Well, you know, did you know God wants you to preach? No, I didn't know it, but I come soon to know it. He has a way. God has a way of showing you personally what he wants you personally to do because he know you. He know your excuses, your lies. He know when you're lying and when you're making a legitimate excuse. Just, okay, go with that for now. I'll get back with you. Let's go with that for now. We'll go with that for now. But he not through. He going to let you digest that lie. Then he going to show you. Let's go on. Let's go on. So let's read this with me. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now, underline where it said his God, his God. Y'all remember that. I'm catching up from people who are not here. When it said his God, when they were about to throw Jonah overboard, what they did, they asked Jonah, you know, who was he? They came to him in verse number 6, chapter 1. What meaneth thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, so it be that God will think upon us and that we perish not. We don't want to die because of you. Oh, yeah. Being with people who are called of God and running from God can endanger your life. They insensitive and you ignorant. Amen. You ignorant. You not understanding why does stuff keep happening with you, man? You better get his background. So what they did, and they said everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, and we will never know whose cause this evil is upon us. Then they said unto him, tell us, we pray, verse number 8, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? What do you do for a living? Yeah, it made me think about several times I had opportunity, you know, and I play golf tournaments sometime, you know, over past years being a NFL player. They had these tournaments, and the corporations, they'll pay a lot of money to have the tournament, and they'll have a former NFL player be with them. So they're all business people, and I'm in there with them. They'll put me with that group. And so, you know what, I don't know them, they don't know me. And then somewhere between the third hole and the fifth hole, they want to ask me, what do you do, David, for a living? Come on, somebody. What is your occupation? I now know they're about to curtail the profanity. They're about to act different. They thought they were playing with an ex-football player, and they're in the clutches of a man of God. Boy, if you really messed up, your concentration is about to be messed up. You ain't spent time with a preacher in 20 years. There's some people that never talk to a preacher one-on-one, to a pastor one-on-one. And I'm on the cart with you right next to you. You checking every thought you have, every comment you make. You trying to be as religious as you can be. You put your best religion, and I said, just relax, be yourself. Whatever you are, you already are. You was it when I came, amen. But let's go on. That makes me think about that, because people get real phony when they know you're a preacher. Can you say amen? But what they did, they wanted to know, what is your occupation? So they figured, whatever's happening to us, it has something to do with you. And that's what I'm saying. You dating some guy or some person and female, and they got a call on their life. They're running from God. You know, kind of ask them, well, how's your life been the last 5 years? How you kept losing all them good jobs? You say you was in two car wrecks? Stuff keep happening to you. What's up with that? Let's go. I see the Facebook people like, yeah. Somebody in the hospital now like, yeah. See, sometimes you don't know. Nobody told you. You have not had enough religious Christian exposure to understand your own identity. This is why identity is crucial. Can you say amen? Amen. And so you need to know about you. If God called you for something, if anybody knows, you need to know. And then somebody close to you need to know. People working with you need to know. Now, the word said quickly, and they said unto him, tell us, what's your occupation? And whence comest thou? Where'd you come from? What city are you from? I tend to ask people that, where you from, brother? And they'll tell, well, I'm from Camden, New Jersey. Camden, New Jersey. Okay, now I know somebody from Camden, and I'll talk about Camden a little bit. Yeah? When were you there? When were you in Camden? You know, because people be running from stuff. Your boyfriend might be on the witness protection program. He running from God and some other people. They had that on the news. They said, well, you know that we have a witness protection. When you tell on enough other people, it's some folk looking for you. Amen. But they can't do what God does, because God nowhere yet. Amen, somebody. How you get a witness protection program in the message like that? When you're running, you're running. Yeah, when you're running, you're running. But God nowhere yet. But so Jonah, he was running. Now, this is the message. So it says, and whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? You know, what are you, man? You black, Puerto Rican? What you? You mixed? What you is? Oh, my goodness. People ask questions like, yes. Yes. Is that your real hair? You know, you're on the witness protection program. They might change some stuff on you. Oh yeah, where your mama and them from? You know, you look Puerto Rican, but you talk black, and you act white. What's you throwing me off here? What kind of friend? Who your friends? You know? You know, oh, Pastor, you tripping. No, I ain't tripping. This is your life. You asking questions. You asking questions because you start going places with people and they start meeting people. You don't have no clue who you meeting and who you with. You be with somebody that some folk looking for. Turn your neighbor and say identity. And then turn the other person next to you and say, by the way, who are you? All right, let's look back here. So they'll tell, never mind, we'll get to that later. Let's stay with the word of God. Amen. Let's stay with the word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say identity. All right, so in chapter 3, let's go back to chapter 3. So, and chapter 2, here's the important part. Now, this is recapping. What Jonah did, he's in this whale now. After they figured out who he is and he the problem. Now, see, you get rid of a bad boyfriend, bad girlfriend, bad hanging friend, and you get rid of, you don't have to deal with that no more, okay? But here, we're following the life of the guy who is the problem. So we're showing how God deals with it, because in many cases, it may be you. All right, so here, Lord have mercy. You ever been with somebody and they told you, I don't know about you, man, you bring me bad luck. I'm kind of old school, y'all. This is stuff people say, no, don't get him, man. Don't get him. That Negro bring bad luck. We got caught the last time we were with him. No, don't bring him. Don't pick him up. Who did that song, Bad Luck? Harold Melvin. Bad luck. Bad luck. It ain't no bad luck. God called that dude. Amen. Amen. Bad luck. That's when nothing's working. Nothing's working. Amen. Downhearted and confused. Because lately you've been starting to lose. Losing out on everything you might try to do. Bad luck surely got a hold of me. Bad luck, bad luck, man. There ain't no bad luck. This is a world of laws, spiritual laws. Amen. Now you can say, well, you know, my boyfriend, he's a good guy and everything, but he just had bad luck. And you saved. And you born again. Ain't no such thing as no bad luck. Something else on Junebug. You better call his mom and them. Well, they from Atlanta. You better call Atlanta. Oh, let me go. I'm having too much fun, but this is so real because you know. Come on, guys, y'all know what I'm talking about. You think of it, make you think about people you know for real, male and female. Amen. But the word says, and so he said, "This is Jonah. Now, get out of the fish." Say this. Say, "Get out of the, come out of the fish." Okay. What has to happen? I may finish right here with this. What had to happen with these men specifically that are in these perishing predicaments? They in the fish. They're in the grasp of the fish, and they need deliverance. See, God is the deliverer, but something's got to happen on the inside of them, amen, to release them into their destiny, amen. See, in other words, say, well, the devil doing that, the devil don't have no power over God. God can break in, and there is no bondage the devil can put you in. God can't break you out of if your heart right to it.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's the HEIR church.org.